The Pontifical Academy for Life is sponsoring an international congress in Rome next week to study the scientific and ethical aspects of caring for the terminally ill and those suffering from incurable illnesses. Those attending the congress will be seeking answers to these questions. What should be done in the cases of incurable and dying patients? Are there limits to the moral duty to preserve life? They are timely questions, as one of the most emotionally charged moral issues of our time centres on end-of-life care for persons in a permanent vegetative state. In the USA, Terry Schiavo was a brain-damaged woman who became the centrepiece of a bitter legal battle over whether or not her feeding tube should be removed. Her estranged husband, Michael Schiavo, who was her guardian, sought permission to have her feeding tube removed, saying that his wife wouldn't have wanted to live in her condition. His move was opposed by Terry's parents and siblings, the Schindler family, who argued that removing the tube was an unconstitutional deprivation of Terry's right to life. In March 2005, the Schindlers lost their long-running legal battle, and the feeding tube which had kept Terry alive for more than a decade was removed. She died 2 weeks later. Following Terry's death, her younger brother Bobby Schindler gave up his teaching job and became a full-time pro-life and disability rights advocate. Schindler is among those who will be attending the Congress sponsored by the Pontifical Academy for Life. And I asked him to outline the significance of this upcoming conference.
Well, I think it's very important. There seems to be a lot of confusion, I know, in America on this issue, in particular, the position of the Catholic Church. So these types of conferences are important to get information to take back to the United States with me to help me as I go around the country speaking about euthanasia.
Your sister was Terry Schiavo, who suffered a serious brain injury in 1990 and then lived on for 15 years. And many of our listeners will recall the bitter legal battle that was waged between her estranged husband and your family over the removal of her feeding tube, a battle that you lost in the end. How did this experience change your life?
Well, we learned during my sister's situation that what happened to her was happening long before her case made the news that it did, and it continues to happen today. Terry was not dying. Her brain injury was not killing her, and she was only being survived by the same thing that we all survived by, which is food and water. So once Terry died, we felt it was very important to continue to go out and tell people that we don't kill persons with cognitive disabilities that are sustained by food and water, and that we are called to care for these people and show them the compassion and love they deserve.
You also wrote a book, didn't you, together with other members of your family. Can you tell us briefly there what message you were trying to get across?
Well, the book's purpose was to go into much more detail about our family and what we had to do to simply bring Terry home and care for her. Our family's only intention from the beginning was to bring Terry home and care for her. But you saw how a family had to fight so hard to do that, which is really evidence of the culture we're living in today, that a family had to fight so hard to simply care for somebody. And again, that's why we're doing what we're doing and really telling people that killing those that are simply sustained by food and water is never right and that we are there to care for them.
Do you believe that euthanasia or support for it is making inroads within American society?
Unfortunately, I think it's getting much worse in our country. There seems to be this acceptance of deciding whether someone should live or die based on their quality of life rather than looking at all life as having value and dignity. And I think it's going to be a very difficult task to attack people like my sister because, as I said, it seems that there's a growing attitude to kill people simply because they are disabled.
Can you offer us some examples of what you see as this growing support or, let's say, acceptance of euthanasia?
Well, at the foundation, we get calls regularly from families that are put in positions of having to try and save their family members or loved ones. It seems that there is a growing mentality within the medical community where doctors and hospitals now are making life and death decisions based on someone's quality of life, and we're seeing where families are fighting against hospitals and doctors to keep their loved ones alive.
So how do you help advocate for people with disabilities? Can you tell us more about what you do?
Well, right now, much of what we do is educating and raising awareness on this issue. We would eventually like to get into public policy where we're addressing the laws so that they do a much better job of protecting those with disabilities, because now they don't. And that's really been happening for the past few decades, where the laws have been changed, where people like my sister are in jeopardy, as we saw in my sister's case, and others like her are now in jeopardy because of the laws. So I think one thing we need to do is address the laws and provide better protection for those that have cognitive disabilities like Terry.
There must somehow, in these end-of-life cases, though, not in your sister's, but in other cases, be cases where there's perhaps a thin line between what would be, shall we say, heavy sedation for somebody suffering pain and euthanasia.
Well, again, back to my sister's situation and the tens of thousands of people like her, it really wasn't an end-of-life issue because Terry was never dying and she was only being sustained by food and water. There are genuine end-of-life type of issues, and they're very much different from Terry's situation. And that's what we're really out advocating for, are those that are not dying, are simply disabled and need our love and care, and only being sustained by food and water.
I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger.
That was Bobby Schindler, sister of the late Terry Schiavo, the brain-damaged American woman at the center of a legal battle over the removal of her feeding tube. Father,